Opportunity to come and speak while Chad is away. As always, I hope that what I say will be edifying to you and that can help you in your walk. To our visitors, we want to thank you for coming and worshiping with us, and we ask that you all stay after. Yeah. I broke the ice. I'm the song leader normally, so this is a stretch. So, but again, thank you for coming, and again, we hope that you're edified by the lesson. Would you please pray with me? Our great God and Father in heaven, we approach your throne of grace in the humblest way we know how. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for giving us your precious word so that as we navigate through this life, we may do so in an abundant way. And we ask that as we delve into the study of your word, that we may grow, that we may be enlightened, that we may grow closer to you and have the courage to share your word with the world who desperately needs you. Please be with us in this place. Please bless our efforts to know you more. And again, we thank you for your love. In Christ's precious name, we ask all these things. Amen. There are many great lessons that can be learned from the Old Testament that apply to Christians. The Apostle Paul informs us that what was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. We read this in passages like Romans chapter 15, verse 4, and 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. An important lesson can be gleaned during the life of Jeremiah. During his ministry, Judah was in turmoil. It was on the verge of being judged by God, resulting in the Babylonian exile. But even though God would condemn them, he still pleaded with them to repent and to change their ways. And that is what we understand when we read passages like Jeremiah 6:16. He wanted to offer them rest for their souls and uses the analogy of travelers who have lost their way. The first thing he tells them is to stand in the ways and see. And the implication is that there are more than one way or path that they'd been traveling on, which was true. They were traveling on all the paths except the right one, which is why they were being judged. And he tells them to ask for the ancient paths. In my experience, I find that the old ways are oftentimes the best way. And with Judah, it would have been very beneficial for them to follow that old way. They had allowed a lot of bad influences to draw them away from the right path that they had been walking on. And so God was telling them that the ancient paths are where the good way is. And what God meant by that, he ultimately was telling them, was that they needed to seek out the ancient paths that would lead them back to the law of Moses in order to once again have a harmonious relationship with the Lord. If you will turn your Bibles over to Jeremiah chapter 7, we'll start at verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting at verse 22. He says, "For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart and went backward and not forward." We see the command, the first phrase, obey my voice. That should be familiar to us because that's exactly what God has been telling us since the Garden of Eden. Obey my voice. Don't eat that tree. He's been consistent from Genesis to Revelation. Just obey me. So he wanted them to obey his voice, which was in that time through the law of Moses, so that he could be their God and Judah could be his people. Again, that has always been God's intention. I want to be your God. I want to do good things for you. I want to see you in eternity, and I want you to be my people. That has been his motivation from the beginning. Well, the Lord Jesus makes a similar appeal for us, and he uses the same path metaphor. In Luke chapter 13, verse 24, he instructs us to strive to enter through the narrow gate. Well, if we have to strive, that means it's not easy to enter. We have to work at it and put out effort. He goes on to say in John chapter 14, verse 6, that there is only one path, a way to the Father, and that is through him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Christ states that there is a wide or broad gate that leads to destruction, and unfortunately, many will be deceived by it. As was the case in Jeremiah's day, there is still a good way that leads to rest for our souls. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, that phrase, "you will find rest for your souls," the same phrase that was in Jeremiah. God wants to give you rest. And so we see, again, Jesus is that good way, that good path that we need to walk on. So the question may arise in your mind, well, why did Judah and Israel stray off that path in the first place? I'm glad you asked, because, Jeremiah addresses that in Jeremiah 18:15. Jeremiah 18, verse 15. And it reads, "For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk on bypaths and not a highway." Since God knows everything, he knew this would be an issue for Israel. And so he addressed it back in Deuteronomy before Israel would enter the land of Canaan. We see Moses talking about that in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and starting at verse 11. And it reads, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and you have your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, 'My power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth.' But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God." So we see in Jeremiah, they did exactly what they weren't supposed to. They forgot it. They got pride in their heart. Even though God had blessed them tremendously, made sure that their enemies were defeated, their flocks and herds multiplied, they had children, all of that. And they chose to worship worthless idols that weren't alive, that they probably made themselves, and gave credit to that statue instead of the living God. Does that make sense to you? They stumbled because they forgot God. God had revealed himself, set up a spiritual highway through the law of Moses, but Judah chose bypaths instead. They wanted to worship dead and worthless gods instead of the living one, and they did what was right in their own eyes and chose a life inferior to the life God wanted for them. Well, Jesus also has established a highway for us. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he says, "Learn from me." Christ sent his message through his apostles in what is called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. The early disciples committed themselves to following this highway in Acts 2, verse 42, and Paul continued to encourage them to remain faithful to it in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Provided that I can get there. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." Again, he wanted them to remain faithful. So the message is clear and consistent. Stay on the ancient path. Stay on the old path. Stay on the highway and keep on the road that leads to the narrow gate. Well, as in Jeremiah's day, people have forgotten the Lord in this day and age. We pass laws removing him from our schools, our government, the workplace, cancel culture, and we replace him with philosophies and doctrines of men, as both Jesus and Paul discussed in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, and Colossians 2, 8. And I'll read them real quickly. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, Jesus says, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." And in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Holy Spirit through Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." We're kind of seeing this now, aren't we? Even when people have zeal for God, and zeal is important, it may not be according to knowledge, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 10, verse 2. In my own life, I've seen this at work. I'm a bus driver, and I drive a lot. So, sometimes I pass by churches, and sometimes I'll have banners that say things like, "Many roads lead to one God." They claim to be Christians, yet they don't realize that Jesus said, "I am the way." So that would signify that there's only one road. When I'm driving and I see a car in front of me, sometimes I see a bumper sticker that says the word "coexist" that is composed of the symbols of different religions, kind of implying that all religions are equal. All these philosophies and doctrines fail to deliver what God only can, which is, again, rest for our souls. When we drift from this path or highway that leads to that rest, it's necessary to construct signposts or landmarks to guide us back. If you want to think about it, it's kind of like the way before GPS. I know it's difficult to imagine a world without it, but you're driving along and you're trying to find the highway, whether 167, 405, or I-5, and you see signs that guide you in that direction. Well, in the same way, you need spiritual signposts to guide you back on the highway. That was true in Jeremiah's day with the people of Judah. Jeremiah talks about that in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 21. Jeremiah 31, verse 21. And it reads, "Set up for yourselves road marks, place for yourself guideposts, direct your mind to the highway, the way by which you went. Return, O Virgin Israel, return to these, your cities." These guideposts and road marks again led them back to the law of Moses. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he talked about the law. It says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." So again, these road marks and signs were to direct them back to the law of Moses. And he says, don't touch it. It's perfect. It doesn't need your influence or opinion. Don't add to it or take away from it. It is pure because it is the voice of God. Basically, God is saying, I don't need your help. Okay, I got this. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, he instructs him to pass it on to the next generation. It should be successive in order to make sure that no generation would fall away from the Lord. These signposts and landmarks are still needed because we still drift from the Lord periodically. During those times when we drift or become discouraged, those signposts are needed, and our signposts are located in passages such as Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The early disciples, they had a reason to be discouraged because they were being persecuted. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in breaking bread and in prayer. When we drift or become discouraged, reading and studying God's word, surrounding ourselves with faithful people who can support and encourage and uplift us, and praying should draw us back to where we need to be. The more we read, the more we study, the more we apply what we learn to our lives, the more the word is able to work within us and to help us draw closer to the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it talks about that. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. And in 2 John 9, in 2 John 9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Again, you don't have to go beyond it. Just God doesn't need your help. What God has offered is perfect. And when you follow it, you will have both the Father and the Son. So if you want rest for your soul, if you want freedom from sin and guilt, if you want inner peace and tranquility in the midst of a chaotic world, the path to such rest is an old one. And it's found in Jesus, a man who has loved you before time began and demonstrated that love when he died for your sins. And by his death and resurrection, he has created that path that begins as soon as you rise up out of the waters of baptism and ends when you stand before God Almighty in peace. If that idea is attractive to you, I encourage you to come forward as we stand for the song of invitation, which Tim will sing for us.
Song number 866.